We want to turn to another one of the minor prophets. The last few weeks we have been thinking about Haggai. Today we're moving to Micah for our Old Testament reading, to the minor prophet Micah. And we're going to chapter 7, page 936, if you want a shortcut. Page 936. And Micah chapter 7 and verse 14. Micah 7 verse 14. It's good to study these minor prophets because you know we're going to meet them someday in heaven. And we'll have all eternity to meet them. So we're going to meet them sooner or later. Those of us who are born again, that is. And what if we meet Micah or Haggai and they say, "Did you read my book?" Well, you'll be able to say, "Yes, I did." So here's Micah chapter 7, verse 14. "Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage which dwells solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." Our New Testament reading is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We will begin to read, please, at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, page 1223, 1223. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Amen. The Lord will bless these passages to our hearts this morning. Four things the Lord Jesus does with our sins. That's the title of our study this morning. Four things the Lord Jesus does with the sins of Christians, the sins of his people. Today is what's known as Reek Sunday. And even as we speak, there are thousands upon thousands of Roman Catholics climbing Kirkpatrick Mountain in County Mayo. And sad to say, they believe that this is part of their salvation. And this is what they must do to appease a holy God. This is what they must do in order to pay for their sins. It is so incredibly sad. And we thank God today that there are those there on the mountain who are reaching out with the true gospel. The gospel that says that Christ has paid it all. And just come and put your faith in him. You don't have to climb any mountain. You don't have to go on pilgrimage, because Jesus climbed Mount Calvary. He made the greatest pilgrimage of all when he left heaven and came into this world, and he cried, "It is finished." And there are those, we thank God for especially organizations like the IEB, Irish Evangelistic Band, and One Mission Society, who are doing a tremendous work even as we worship the Lord this morning, reaching out with the gospel. They give out bottles of water, but they're really wanting to impart the water of life. Just like Jesus said, he would give living water that would be like a well that would spring up into everlasting life. And so we're glad today that we don't have to climb Croagh-Patrick or any other mountain for that matter, Slieve Donard or whatever. We're glad today that we can just rest in the finished work of Christ. And so back to the message today. What does the Lord Jesus do with our sins? Where are my sins as a believer today? I want to know. Where are your sins today as a believer? I'm sure you want to know. You see, there are those today who are searching for your sins and for my sins. Maybe you didn't realize that. Let me tell you who's looking for your sins today and my sins. First of all, the devil. Well, the devil's going to leave no stone unturned to try to dig up our sins and throw them up in our face and throw them up in the face of God. And the devil will, he just wants to throw our sins up to God and say, "Do you see what Jonathan Campbell has done? You not realize how evil and wicked he has been in his life? He doesn't deserve heaven. Cast him into hell forever." The devil is seeking for my sins and your sins, child of God. But he's never going to find them. Never going to find our sins. And we'll explain why in a wee moment or two. Then there's other people who are searching for our sins, desperately trying to find your sins and my sins. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Fault finders. You know, people who like to point the finger. People who forget that there's four fingers pointing back. Hypocrites. Those who look down upon others. Holier than thou. You know, friends, the only time we should look down upon anybody is when we're trying to lift them up. Yes, hypocrites will try to put a guilt trip on you, child of God. They'll say, "You've done this, you've done that. You said this, you said that. You go to church, you call yourself a Christian." And of course, they will then go on to call you a hypocrite. That's the hypocrisy of it. Hypocrites calling other people hypocrites. So ironic. But even though the devil and hypocrites will search for our sins, thank God those of us who are trusting in Christ alone, our sins will never be found. Satan and the hypocrite will never discover our sins. I want to tell you why today, as we consider this great question, where are our sins? To find the answer to this question, we're going to ask two prophets today, and then we're going to ask two apostles. First of all, the prophets. Isaiah, could you tell us the answer to this question? Where are the sins of God's people? And back comes the answer in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. If you're a believer today, all your sins are behind the back of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does this wonderful verse mean? What could the prophet be referring to? Well, whenever someone turns their back on you, they want nothing more to do with you. Isn't that right? Whenever God turns his back on our sins, he wants nothing more to do with them. He's saying, I want nothing more to do with Jonathan Campbell's sins or whoever in New Buildings Independent Methodist Church today. Everyone who's trusting in my son, I want nothing more to do with their sins. I'm turning my back on their sins. Their sins are cast behind my back. Oh, bless the Lord. Where are our sins today? They are behind the back of the Lord Jesus. That's Isaiah. Thank you, Isaiah, for your answer. What a comfort. Now, Micah, could we ask you the same question? Where are the sins of those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, the risen Savior? Could you tell us, Micah, could you furnish us with an answer? Where are their sins today? Sunday, the 29th of July, 2018. Wait for it. Can you hear the answer? I can. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Do you know scientists tell us that there are parts of the ocean where the water is so dark, depths of the ocean, away down in the depths of the sea now, and the water is so dark, black dark, nothing can be seen down there. Black as ink. You know what that's telling me this morning? It's telling me that our sins are there where they cannot be seen. And it's all, folks, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's his blood that has put them there, down in the depths of the sea. The water is so dark. But let me say that the temperature is so low. You know, if you go to the depths of the sea, there's one particular place in the Pacific Ocean, 7 miles deep, the Mariana Trench. Now, you heard me right the first time, 7 miles down. You know, the temperature is so low down there that it's actually warmer at the North and South Poles. That's where the beautiful Lord Jesus has put our sins. Those of us who are trusting in him. Not those of us who are here today saying, Lord, I've had quite a good week, and Lord, I hope that that'll gain a few brownie points for you, and heaven's gate, I hope, Lord, it's getting a wee bit wider, so it's opening a bit wider for me, Lord. Heaven's looking like more of a possibility for me, Lord, because this past week, you see, I did this and I did that, and, you know, kept it all together. If that's the attitude of anybody in church today, then I want to tell you, your sins are not in the depths of the sea. Your sins are actually still upon your back. You're still carrying them about. But to those who say, Lord, words cannot describe how wicked and how depraved I feel that I am. But Lord, my only plea is the Lamb of God and the blood he shed. Lord, that's my hope.
Oh, I have good news for you today. Your sins are down there where the water is so dark. Your sins are down there where the temperature is so low. And let me say thirdly, your sins are down there where the pressure is so great. You know, the pressure is so great down at the bottom of the sea that if you were able to put a battleship into that area, it would be crushed to pieces like a child's toy. Such is the pressure. Nothing can exist down there. And that is where the Lord Jesus says he will put our sins. In fact, those of us who are trusting him, he says, that's where I have already put your sins. They no longer exist. Child of God, your sins have gone out of existence. Isn't that a wonderful thought today? Wouldn't that put a smile on your face? Wouldn't that just inspire you to launch out into the Holiday Bible Club and to give it your best? Thank God, when Jesus died and rose again, he cast our sins into the depths of the sea. I will cast in the depths of the fathomless sea all thy sins and transgressions, whatever they be, though they mount up to heaven or reach down to hell, they shall sink in the depths, and above them shall swell all the waves of my mercy so mighty and free. I will cast all thy sins in the depths of the sea. In the great unknown depths where the storms never sweep, all thy sins have been cast in the grave of the deep, where no mortal can enter thy faults to deride. Far above them forever flows love's mighty tide. Of that sepulchre vast I alone hold the key, and I buried them there in the depths of the sea. In the dark, silent depths far away from the shore, where they never can rise up to trouble thee more, where no far-reaching tide with its terrible roar ever stir the dark waves of forgetfulness o'er. I have buried them there through all ages to be. I have cast all thy sins in the depths of the sea. So rejoice, all ye ransomed away from the light. Far above them the waves of his mercy doth flow, for he loveth to pardon and grace to bestow. Yea, thy sins, though as scarlet or crimson they be, he forever has cast in the depths of the sea. Thank you, Micah, for your answer. Now let's cross the frontier between the Old and New Testaments. And we're coming to the apostles now, and we want to ask two apostles what their answer is. Paul, could you give us a moment of your time and answer the question, where are our sins? What has the Lord Jesus done with the sins of his children? And the answer comes back from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, wait for it, nailing it to his cross. Did we hear you right, Paul? Every last sin of every last believer has been nailed to the cross of Christ. Yes, you heard me right. The Lord Jesus has nailed our sins to the cross. Where are they today? They're on the cross. Nailed to it. Destroyed. Obliterated. Jesus has taken perfect revenge. You see, folks, it was our sins that nailed him to the cross. But now Jesus has taken revenge on our sins because now he has nailed them to the cross.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You know, if you're in a charismatic church today, the preacher would be saying, can I hear a hallelujah? Can I hear an amen? But I'm not charismatic, so I'll not say that. But I know, folks, those of you who are Christians, I don't mean nominal Christians, I mean real Christians. Those of you, I know, you've been saying hallelujah in your heart. Amen in your heart. Praise the Lord in your heart. And that's just as good as the man who, or the woman who shouts it out. Oh, thank God our sins have been nailed to his cross. Let me finish today. We want to ask Peter, the Apostle Peter, this same question. Where are our sins? Where are my sins? Where are your sins? And the answer comes back from Peter's pen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Peter has reminded us that whenever the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he bore our sins. Now, what Peter is referring to is the Old Testament Day of Atonement. And it's found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. That'd be a good chapter for you to read this afternoon. It'll bless you. And the book of Leviticus tells us about that Day of Atonement. And it tells us about what happened on the Day of Atonement. And let me try to explain it as we finish. I know that I'm not as good as the Word of God, not nearly as good as the Word of God at explaining it. So that's why I ask you to read it this afternoon. But let me try to paint the picture for you. You see, on the Day of Atonement, there was a very amazing and a wonderful ceremony that took place. The people of Israel were sinners, every one of them, including the priests, even including the very high priest. And so the high priest had to take two goats. One goat would be sacrificed upon the altar. Its blood would be shed. That is a picture of what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary for you and for me, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. But then there was another goat, and that goat was allowed to live, and it was called the scapegoat. The scapegoat. And the high priest would put his hand upon the head of the goat, and he would confess over it the sins of Israel and his own sins. And then he would call for a man who was very fit. And this man had the responsibility of taking this goat away into the wilderness. The Bible says it was a land uninhabited. And the goat would be let go there in the very, very back of the wilderness. And it would never be seen again. I want to encourage you, Christian, today, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your family is going through, your sins will never be seen again. You heard me right.
as long as you trust in Christ, your sins will never be recorded against you, because the great scapegoat, the Lord Jesus, has risen from the dead and he's carried them away. Now, the moment that you start depending on your performance and your holiness, you're in dangerous ground. Your sins will be seen again. Now, I believe in holiness. I believe in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I just wish that I was more holy. But I want to say that we do not lean upon our holiness for salvation. If we do, we're no better than the people who are climbing Kirkpatrick Mountain right now. After we're saved, we pray to the Lord for grace to live holy lives. We pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to live holy lives, but it's nothing to do with our salvation. It is simply saying thank you to the Lord, and it's glorifying him, the one who has taken our sins away already. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Thank you, Isaiah, for your answer. Where are the sins of believers? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Thank you, Micah, for your answer. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thank you, Paul, for your answer. They are nailed to his cross. And thank you, Peter, for your answer, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree.